Sometimes, if we keep hearing the same thing over and over again, we begin to believe it's true. We're not real sure, but we've heard it from a lot of different people or a lot of different places, and so you know, it must be true. Now, I'm not talking about gossip. That'll be in another message sometime, but talking about maybe something that's on the news. You know, this politician said this, and we hear it on a couple different news stations, and maybe we hear it on the radio or whatever, and so we think, oh, I guess so. Or, you know, we hear that this Hollywood couple that's been married forever is getting divorced, and, you know, we think, well, I guess that's the way it is. Or an athlete's being traded, or athlete's gotten arrested for whatever. It seems to happen quite often in the off season. If we hear something enough times from enough people, we begin to believe that's true. You believe it until you find out different. Well, the same thing can happen with Scripture. There's different things that some people believe are in the Bible, but they really aren't in the Bible. The term cleanliness is next to godliness. Some people think that that's in Scripture, you know, probably in Proverbs someplace, must be. Well, it's not, okay? Maybe there might be something somewhere in there that's a little bit close to that, kind of, but that is not in the Bible. Or money is the root of all evil. Now, a lot of people believe that, but 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money, but the love of money. And there is no little drummer boy in the Bible. Okay, maybe you thought he was in there someplace in Matthew or Luke, and you just hadn't really found it. But no, it's not there. Adam and Eve, okay, they didn't eat an apple. All right, it just says fruit. It doesn't tell us what kind of fruit it was. Maybe a kind of fruit that grew on no other tree except that tree. And so it'd be something that, you know, we never will know what it was. Some people believe that somewhere in the Bible it says God helps those who help themselves. No, not in there. Love the sinner and hate the sin. Well, the Bible teaches that, but it doesn't say it anywhere. And how about God works in mysterious ways? Not in the Bible. Okay, yeah, he does work in mysterious ways, but it doesn't say that in the Bible anyplace. So let's look at something else that maybe we've got kind of messed up in our minds just because we've been hearing something a certain way. But let's pray first. Father, we give you thanks for your word and how your word is true. Sometimes we add to it or take away from it to make it sound like what we want it to sound like. Sometimes we hear things that people tell us it's in the Bible, but you know, if we take the time to look ourselves, we'll find out that no, it's really not there anywhere. So Father, help us to always go to your word to find out what is true. So Lord, as we look at your word in a lot of different places today, Lord, help us to be ready to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to look at something that is in the Bible, but it's misrepresented often, and that is angels. Okay, we find angels in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So let's kind of get the lowdown on angels and see just what the Bible says. Okay, first of all, they're referred to by several different names. In Genesis 3:24, it says, after sending them, meaning Adam and Eve, out, after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden. Okay, so cherubim. All right, Isaiah 6:2, says, attending him were mighty seraphim, having six wings. Okay, so we've got seraphim now. Well, Daniel 4:13 says, "As I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven." So Daniel refers to the angel as a messenger. And Psalm 103:21 says, "Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants, who do his will." Okay, so there the angels are being referred to as servants. So these are few of a lot of different things that are used as titles or names of angels. And of course, you go to different Bible translations, different versions, and you're going to find different things. Messenger or watcher, servant or minister. So, you know, it, as usual, depends on which translation of the Bible that you're reading. But let's get one thing straight, okay? They are not the rosy-cheeked, cute, chubby little critters that we see, okay? You know, like around Valentine's Day especially, you know, you'll see these, just these cute little blonde, curly hair, blue-eyed, you know, rosy cheeks, you know, just the sweetest looking little 9-month-old baby that you can imagine. Well, that's not what they are. Nor are they beautifully dressed like the woman that may sit on the top of your Christmas tree. Okay, that's not it. Okay, the book of Revelation tells of angels doing battle with Satan's demons. Somehow, I don't think Cupid would do a real good job. Okay, so let's put that image of angels, no matter what you want to call them, out of our minds. Well, the next thing you look at is that God created angels. Okay, the Bible never spells that out in so many words. Okay, but we know that angels were around at creation. In Job 38, verses 4, 6, and 7, God is grilling Job. Okay, and this is one thing that it says. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" Okay, so the angels were there at creation. Have the angels been forever like God? You know, just always existed? I don't know. Okay, we know that they were there at the time of creation anyways. Okay, the next thing is angels, they're not human. Okay, Hebrews 1:13 and 14 says, "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand and until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Okay, so the point that the Hebrews author is making is that God said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." That's, he's talking to us, to humans, to people, not to angels. Because we are the only ones that inherit salvation. Angels don't inherit salvation. They don't need it. They're already in heaven. Okay? Our pets don't receive salvation, no matter what anybody tells you. Okay? And nature is not benefiting from salvation. And like Hebrews 1:14 asked, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" So Hebrews makes it pretty clear that angels and humans, they're not the same. Now, another very important thing to take away from this, okay? People do not become angels when they die and go to heaven, okay? You know, this is something that really bugs me when I hear that. Because when somebody dies, especially a child, you know, somebody would say, "Well, God just needed another angel in heaven." No, that's a nice thought, okay? But it's not true. Okay, it may give us some comfort, but you're getting your comfort from a lie, or you're trying to give somebody comfort by lying to them, because that's not the way it works. Angels are angels and humans are humans. Okay, and as Christians, we need to not be supporting this. If someone that I know is in heaven and somebody says, well, you know, God just needed another angel, you know, I would say, well, I know they're in heaven with you know, maybe their mother, or they're in heaven with their sister or whatever, and with the Lord. But I don't say, you know, God just needed another angel, that's why he's gone or he's gone. Okay? Never. You know, I'm sure they have their wings and their harps by now. I don't know where the harp thing came from. You know, I mean, we know that there's music and singing in heaven, so maybe harps, you know, probably a keyboard and bass guitar, more likely. But angels, there'll never be more angels, okay? No matter how many hard, solid believers die and go to heaven, there's not going to be more angels because of that. Okay. And next, God is in charge of his angels. I mean, he's the boss. Okay, in Hebrews 1:7, it says, he sent his angels like the winds, his servants like the flames of fire. And that's taken from Psalm 104. And then in Luke 1:26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Okay, Gabriel didn't just decide, hey, maybe I'll go down and I'll talk to Elizabeth. No, or I'll go down and I'll talk to Mary. Or, you know, I'll go down and do this. You know, God sends angels. And in Daniel 6:22, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. And Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give this testimony for the churches. Angels didn't just show up. Okay, it wasn't like there was, you know, maybe Gabriel was one of the head angels and said, hey, why don't you go down and do this, or why don't you do that? No, God was the one that was doing the sending. And the next thing is that Jesus is higher than the angels. Some people think that Jesus and the angels are kind of on the same level, okay, but they're not. If they were, God could have sent an angel to give us salvation. Okay, wouldn't need to have sent his son, like John 3:16 tells us. Okay, the New Passion Translation. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Excuse me. God had to send the perfect sacrifice, and there was only one, and that was his son. An angel could not have taken Jesus' place. 1 Peter 3 is talking about Noah and the flood and what it symbolizes. Okay, and this is from the Message, verses 21-22. It says, the waters of baptism do that for you, not by washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus's resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies. He is standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. Okay, or like the NIV says, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, in submission to Jesus. Okay, the only comparison between Jesus and angels is they have the same residence. Okay, they're all in heaven. Well, in Matthew 22, the Sadducees brought up a topic to Jesus. Okay, this is verses 23 to 30. It says, that same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, meaning Jesus, with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now, there were 7 brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right on down to the 7th. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the 7, since all of them were married to her?" Jesus replied, "You are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." First of all, I think I'd have the woman investigated. You know, she went through 7 brothers. But second of all, don't panic. Okay? Here's what I believe is being said by Jesus. First of all, Jesus is not talking about when we die. Okay? I believe when we die, the believers that died before us will be waiting for us and will know each other. Okay? Can I back it up with scripture? Well, not entirely, but we're not going to go there today. Okay? And second of all, Jesus is talking about the resurrection, his second coming. Okay? Again, I believe we'll be one big happy family then, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? So what Jesus is saying is, after he comes back, after the second coming, okay, husband and wife and parent and child isn't going to make any difference anymore. Okay, we're all going to be just believers singing our hearts out for the Lord. All right? But until that time, okay, I believe, and I believe what Jesus is saying, that until that time, you know, when you go to heaven, you know, if your parents are there, you're going to see your parents. If your child is there, you're going to see your child, and you're going to know that's your child. You're going to know that's your parents or your spouse or whoever it is. Okay? So, next came the fact that angels came to share knowledge with humans. Daniel 9, 20 to 22 in the New Living Translation. Daniel says, "I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, 'Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding.'" Okay, Gabriel, as we know, is an angel. The same Gabriel that spoke to Mary? Probably. Angels don't die or don't grow old, so very well could have been. The same angel that went to Joseph? We don't know. In the scripture about Joseph, it doesn't give the angel a name, so very well could have been. In Acts 8:26, Philip heard from an angel. It says, "An angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Okay, and Philip does that, and he meets the eunuch who's the treasurer in Ethiopia. Excuse me. In verse 29, the angel says, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." And so Philip does that. And when he gets there, he sees that the eunuch is reading the scripture. And, you know, Philip asks him, "Well, do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I?" He says, "I need somebody to be able to explain it to me." So Philip says, "Hey, I'm the guy." Okay, so he hops up in the chariot with him, and he explains Isaiah 53, 7 and 8 to the man. And the man becomes a believer. And so the eunuch says, "Well, you know, gee, why can't I be baptized?" And so they go along and they find where there's some water, hop out of the chariot. Philip baptizes the eunuch. Philip just disappears. Okay? But it was the angel that told him, "Okay, you need to go this way and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and that's what happened. In Acts 10, Cornelius, he's a Roman army captain, and he's a believer in God. Verse 3 and 4 says, one afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. Angel gives him the instructions that he needed to have Peter come and see him. And so Cornelius sent some people to Peter. Peter had a similar vision. And so Peter goes to see Cornelius, and they all get saved. Okay? And then the next thing is that angels shouted for joy at creation. Okay, I mentioned before in Job 38 that God created the angels, and it says all the angels shouted for joy at creation. And how about in Luke 2? Okay, the angels and the shepherds. Okay, the angel came to give the good news to the shepherd. And then it says in verse 13, it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Okay, they were shouting for joy. Okay, they shouted for joy at creation. They shouted for joy at the fact that Christ had been born. And then in Luke 15, we find the parable of the lost sheep. Okay, where it says the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and find the one. Well, Jesus, in verse 7, telling this parable, he says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. Well, who do you think is going to be doing the rejoicing in heaven? The angels. Okay? So, we got just a couple more here. Angels break innocent people out of jail. Okay? Acts 5, 17 to 19. It says, the high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Okay? Now, we don't know who, what, we know it was Peter, but we don't know who else. It says the apostles. Okay? And then again in Acts, this time in chapter 12, Peter's back in jail again, and he's chained between two soldiers. And then there's other soldiers that are guarding the gates. Okay, so, you know, we lost Peter before, we're not going to lose him again. Okay, but then in verses 7 and 8, it says, suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. And then in verse 11 it says, Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. God provided through his angel. Last one, I think. But angels came to share prophecies of what was coming in the future. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been resurrected. He's been seen by the disciples and many others. He's given his last instructions. And now in verse 9 of Acts 1, it says, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now in verses 10 and 11, this is what it says. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Okay, now we're still waiting for that day to come, but we know that it's going to come at some time when God says, now, then it happens. Okay, I guess I got just a couple more, and then I'm done. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. This is from the Message. It says, stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it is needed. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. That's a real possibility. Okay, there's accounts of people saying that they really believe that that happened to them and may very well be true. I'm certainly not going to be the one to say it didn't. The last one, actually it's several, but in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches. Each letter begins like this. Write each letter to the angel of the church in wherever, Philadelphia, Laodicea, whatever. Each letter starts out that way. Okay, so throughout the book of Revelation, we read many, many times about angels. And like I said back in the beginning, that the angels were going to be doing battle with Satan and his demons. Okay, there's a lot that we don't know about angels for sure. Now, TVs and movies have given us some kind of wild insight to angels sometimes. You probably remember, if you're my age or around there, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Okay, now we learned that from It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, the movie was made, what, back in the 30s or 40s, and it still gets shown every year, which I don't have a problem with. But I haven't been able to find any scripture to back that up about the bell ringing and the angel getting his wings. Okay, we've had TV shows like Touched by an Angel and Highway to Heaven, movies like Angels in the Outfield and The Preacher's Wife, just to name a few. Some of these movies and TV shows didn't portray angels in a very biblical way, but we've become accustomed to the world twisting most things Christian. Touched by an Angel, you know, maybe it was kind of close to what the Bible says, with the exception that Monica and Tess were women. Okay, the show kind of brings up an interesting question about the angel of death. Okay, that was Andrew's role in there. He was the angel of death. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it talks about the angel being called the angel of death, but there's different times in the Old Testament where an angel was the one that brought death and destruction in different ways. So as with anything, if you're not sure, you got to check your Bible. Okay, if somebody tells you something about angels, they tell you something about heaven, they tell you something about Jesus or whatever, go to the scripture and see if it's there before you accept it. And that includes what you hear from me. Okay, you know, and your pastor on Sunday mornings. You know, you need to check what you're being told. You need to check what's being given to you in podcasts or from the pulpit or whatever, and see, you know, is that really what Scripture says? You know, did God really have this happen? Or did Jesus really say that? Or, you know, just what was meant by what was said? Or what am I supposed to get from what was happening in that passage? Check the Scripture and see. Because, you know, we all sometimes put our own thoughts into things that we preach or teach, the things that maybe are true sometimes, maybe kind of true, maybe sometimes way off. But it's up to us as individual believers to check and see what is really being said. So let me just take a moment to pray for those that, you know, you know Christ, but you're just kind of confused about some things sometimes. So Lord, I just lift all of us up as believers. And Lord, help us to know that your word is true from cover to cover. It's what happened in the way it happened. And Lord, help us to be diligent in checking things against Scripture. Because, Lord, we don't want to be misled by anyone that is doing it intentionally or unintentionally. So, Lord, help us to take what we hear, and if we're not sure, to check it out. Because, Lord, that's why you gave us your Scripture. That we have that to be the matrix that we need to check things against. And Lord, I lift up anyone that may be listening that has not begun that relationship with you, that they're not a follower of Christ. And Lord, maybe they've heard some of these things about angels and, you know, just are confused themselves in things that they've heard over the years, maybe from believers, maybe from going to church and having heard things. So Lord, I just lift them up, and Lord, I just pray that you'll draw them to you, because no one comes to you unless we are drawn by you. So Lord, I just pray that if there's someone that's listening that has not made that decision for you, if not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day that they do, that they'll know what Scripture says is true, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, just like it tells us. It doesn't sound like something that is possible, but Lord, all things are possible with you. And that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, not just the sins of the apostles, those that knew him and walked with him and heard him speak, and not just those that drove the nails in his hands and put him on the cross, that he died for the sins of us today, almost 2,000 years later. And that, Father, that's a hard thing to understand, but Lord, you don't tell us to understand it. You just tell us that we need to believe in. And that because Jesus died for our sins, that makes us a new person, a new creation. And that we need to believe, too, that Jesus rose from the dead. Again, another hard thing to believe, but only by faith to believe it. And that Jesus met with the disciples. He talked with them. He ate with them. And when he left, he said, "I'm coming back." And the only thing that we need to do is be ready. And the only way to be ready is through Jesus Christ and making a commitment to him, giving our life all from morning to night, everything that we do, giving it to Christ. So, Father, I pray that if there's someone that's listening that has never made that decision, that they do it today. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.